The book of 1 Chronicles. We finish up 1 Chronicles today. We come to chapter 29, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God." Solomon was God's choice, but I'm not sure he would have been David's choice to succeed him. David seems to be awful concerned about Solomon's youth and inexperienced. Of course, the Bible teaches that God often uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. 2. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stones and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple. And so David put his money where his mouth was. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said. And David gave his treasure to God, proving again that he had a real heart for God, as the Lord himself said of David, "He is a man after my own heart." And you can tell that by where you put your money. We'll see that a little later too. Verse 4, 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And so David led by godly example in the matter of holiness, in the matter of giving. And now he challenges others to give to God as well. You know, a leader really has no moral authority unless they live what they say they believe. Verse 6, then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave diligently. They gave toward the work of the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord, in the custody of Jehiel, the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. And so they gave out a devotion to God. And it's important to remember that God's people are not under the law when it comes to the matter of giving. In fact, God doesn't want anything from us if we don't want to give it. And these people gave willingly from their heart. And it was an amazing sight that really overwhelmed David, because look at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." When David saw the giving of the Lord's people, he broke loose into spontaneous praise. He was overwhelmed by the generosity of his people, and he gave God all the credit. Verse 12, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." David knows that God is the reason he is king. And he also knows that God is the reason why some people are wealthy, including himself. And it's true. A person is rich because God made them rich. A person receives honor because God gives them that honor. All these things come from the Lord. 13. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. The only thing David really could do was just give thanks and praise to God. And what else can you do? And probably even that began to ring hollow. Verse 14. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And so that's important to remember too. Anything that we have is just a loan from God. 15. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Those who make their life on earth the most important thing need to understand that we are all just passing through this world. It's just a short stay. Our everlasting stage of existence begins after we die. 16. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. In other words, the big gifts which were given to God already belong to God. Giving an offering to God is sort of like returning a book to its rightful owner. It already belongs to him. 17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And so their willingness to give to God showed that they had a heart for God. How we use our money indicates what we value, which says an awful lot about people who drop a buck in a collection plate on Sunday morning and then go to a restaurant after church and drop 20, 25, 30 bucks for a Sunday breakfast or brunch. Where your money is, that's where your heart is also. That's what Jesus taught. Verse 18. O Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. It is only by God's enabling grace that we can be faithful to the Lord. Verse 19, and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Good times, prosperous times, can be spiritually dangerous times too. And David understands Solomon's going to have a lot of wealth, and so he prays that God will keep him focused on the Lord, keep his priorities in order. 20. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. David was a great king. David was a great political leader. And we can see from this that he was also a great spiritual leader. 21. The next day, they made sacrifices to the Lord and presented burnt offerings to him, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 male lambs, together with their drink offerings and other sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. This gathering to anoint Solomon as king, or at least pledge their support to him, and to show their support for the new temple. This gathering of important people from all over Israel was wrapped up with a huge worship service that involved an enormous amount of sacrifices to the Lord. And this was a tangible way of saying that God is deserving of all the credit for all that we ever have or ever will have or have right now. Verse 22. They ate and drank with great joy in the presence of the Lord that day. Then they acknowledged Solomon, son of David, as king a second time, anointing him before the Lord to be ruler and Zadok to be priest. Times of worship like this were often times of celebration for the worshipers. This is not unusual for the Old Testament. God wanted his people to enjoy themselves, especially when they worshipped him. Verse 23, so Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king in place of his father David. He prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And so, as we will see in 2 Chronicles, for as long as Solomon was devoted to God, the Lord prospered him in every way, and his kingdom was a huge success as long as he remained devoted to the Lord. Verse 24, all the officers and mighty men, as well as all the King David's sons, pledged their submission to King Solomon. And not everyone was thrilled that Solomon was king, but here they pledged to support him anyway. I suppose they didn't want to let down David, and maybe they even had a fear of the Lord, some of them. 25, the Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him royal splendor, such as no king over Israel ever had before. During his reign, Solomon was known all over the world for his greatness. He was just the most famous king that Israel ever had, and the most famous king of the day. People came from far and wide just to listen to him and to ask him questions, because he had such a reputation for wisdom, as we will see. 26, David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. His son Solomon succeeded him as king. And so David had his share of very tough times, but he had a heart for God. And so he always confessed his sin. He always got back on track. He paid for his sin. And it wasn't an easy life at times. But because he got back on track and he remained devoted to the Lord, according to God, his life was successful. 29. As for the events of King David's reign, from beginning to end, they are written in the books of Samuel the seer, the records of Nathan the prophet, and the records of Gad the seer, together with the details of his reign and power, and the circumstances that surrounded him and Israel and the kingdoms of all the other lands. And so Samuel the seer, in verse 29, refers to Samuel the prophet, who wrote 1 and 2 Samuel. And if you want a more detailed account of David's life, the book to read is 2 Samuel, because you'll get an awful lot that was not recorded here in 1 Chronicles. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.